streets, where the streets shine with the glory of the land. There's no way we can go.
Personal basis for quite some time, and Jerry, he just lights up a room wherever he goes. And I just believe that he's going to have something to share with us today that's going to be a blessing to us. And we're going to be able to go away from here better than when we came. And Jerry, without any further ado, God bless you. Let's all give a real IFCB welcome to Jerry.
First of all, Don, that sounded so good. I kept looking around, finding out if there's somebody that I would miss that had applied to. That is. I tell you, it's an honor and a pleasure for me to be here. It's an honor and a pleasure for me to present my story, which I'm assuming is not much different than everybody's story. So thanks for the opportunity. You know, I'm also one of those people that think that there's humor in everything. And there's even secular humor that I think applies to a lot of things, like Scripture. And so I'm going to talk about understanding a little bit here. And so I want to tell you, there was this guy that went to the doctor for a checkup. And everything was okay. And the doctor said, "Is there anything else you want to talk about?" And he said, "Yes, my wife is really hard of hearing, and I cannot convince her that she can't hear." And the doctor said, "Well, I don't know. You'll have to bring her in." He said, "Well, she won't go to the doctor. She's in denial about this. And is there anything you can give me?" And he said, "No." But he said, "Even at that, I have to know how deaf she is." And so he says, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And the doctor says, "Well, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to talk to her." And then and he told him how to do it. And so the guy went home, and his wife was cooking in the kitchen, and he was clear across the other side of the room, and the doctor told him, said, "From a long ways away, you ask her a simple question, and if she doesn't answer, you step forward and answer her the same question," and so forth. And so he gets back in the corner, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she doesn't say anything, and so he walks a few feet in, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she doesn't respond. He walks closer again, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" And she doesn't say anything, so he walks up right behind her and says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" She turned around and she said, "I've told you 4 times fried chicken." So a lot of times the perception is different. I think people look at Scripture that way too. A lot of times you don't think the Scripture is talking about you. It applies to who? All of them. All the time. You know, I want to start by telling you that I brought witnesses for this, actually. I've been blessed way beyond my abilities. And these three know that I don't have the talent to do what's happening. But it really is. I've been blessed in my marriage. I've been blessed with my family. I've been married for 40 years. I've been blessed with a lot of friends, Christian friends and not Christian friends, that I've been able to really witness to over the years. And of course, I've been blessed beyond my abilities in business. Matter of fact, every person in our company has been blessed beyond the total amount of our abilities. Because our company was dedicated to Christ at the foundation of the family. We still pray every Monday morning for protection for those that travel, protection for those and healing for those that are sick, and for wisdom on how to do our business. Amen. So it's a huge part of the calendar. Also, I say that in total humility because it really is more than we could have done individually. And if Bill Bartlett was standing here in front of me today, he would tell you the same thing. God has blessed our company way beyond. There's a sign in my home, and I love this sign. I've never seen it anyplace else. My wife picked it up. And it says, and it describes me to a great extent. It's a simple sign that says, we are a family created in the mind of God for the dawn of time. And so, I actually don't think anything happens to me that wasn't preordained to happen. The people I work with, the company that I'm at, the family that I have, and the people that have brought in front of me. So, I do that. I consider Calidus not a business. I consider it my business family. I consider my church family. I consider my friend family. And so that says more about me than most would realize. I really did grow up in a really small town in Texas. And I'm surprised that you guys actually came when I saw the picture that Whitney sent you. In my bio, I did put that I never dreamed about being anything but a cowboy. I didn't grow up on a ranch. I didn't do anything else. I grew up in a little bit of in a little town of Texas. That on the corner of the city limits of that Texas is where the 4-6's ranch stopped. So I was always around cowboys. I liked their honesty. I liked their toughness. I liked their straightforwardness. It's amazing. Is that you could tell them a story, and if you weren't telling them the truth, one of them would eventually say, that's a lie. How often do you have that happen? I always thought that. So that's my background. When I was 12 years old, in April, I actually accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And the church that my parents and I belonged to is that it was baptism by submersion. And I knew when I got up that my life changed. There has never been a doubt in my mind that something happened to me at that moment in time. Never once. The church I grew up in was really a legalistic church. And they did not believe that you would accept Christ as your Savior and then be saved. That was not in their doctrine. It was the church of works. And so, is this 100% knowing that I was saved dwindled within a year because I could not. I came to the realization I would never make it to heaven. Because I could never control my ability to sin. And so I became totally discouraged and actually gave up. At the church that I went to, actually, they wouldn't allow instruments of any kind. And in a Sunday school class one time, not to cause trouble, not to ever say anything against that church, I actually made the comment, I said, I don't understand why you can't have instruments. And the comment that the Sunday school teacher made to me at that moment in time is because it's not in the New Testament. Now, here's what got me in so much trouble, because I was not trying to cause a problem. I looked at him and I said, yeah, but it doesn't say anything about air conditioning or lights. I'm telling you, my parents did not take me to the woodshed, but I was not allowed to talk in Sunday school. But growing up knowing that it was on a scale system. If I was going to go to heaven, it would have to be off of what I did that was good versus what I did was bad. I knew I wouldn't make it. I did. I couldn't do it. I tried hard, and it didn't work. But I knew that I would never make that. And then in my early 20s, and so I left the church, basically. Even if I was there, I wasn't there on the thing. I just was totally discouraged. When I was in my mid-20s, I heard a tape one time, and it was on Romans. And I'd actually, at that particular time, that it was when it said that you're saved by grace, not by works. At least any man should boast. And I asked, why, how could that be? And I have to tell you that the church I went to didn't like that scripture. Right? And then I started studying. I got into God's Word. I listened to the Word. And then it changed my life forever.
Amen.
And so now, from not being able to make it, I was sitting there going, I can make it. Now all of a sudden, if I want the rewards, or if I want the blessings, or if I want whatever the case is, then that's up to God. All I have to do is stay in fellowship.
Amen.
Mr. Bartlett and I talk about this all the time, is that if we stay in fellowship, that doesn't mean sinless. It means that we're staying in fellowship. When we do something wrong, we confess that sin and we go on. God will bless that in our life.
Amen.
And
that's good.
It's the foundation of my faith. It has always been the foundation of my faith. It will always stay that way. But that kind of contradicts in some ways that when you go to James, which is one of my favorite books, and I'm going to read from James here in just a second. And it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance, when it finishes its work, so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Think of that concept. No matter what we ask God, he does not find fault when we ask for wisdom. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. There's two things that I think are always true. Faith knows this. All of us know what faith knows. There are trials, right? All of us have lost people that are from illness. We've lost friends. There's sickness all around us. Is that we know that. But the trials, to me, there's at least four reasons that we go through trials. There's more than four, but there is four I'd like to bring up. It's the test for the strength of your faith. Right? Because once you start doing God's work, somebody is going to attack you. We all know where the basis of the attack is, that someone is going to attack you. So, you have to have, it strengthens your faith. Trials are given us to teach us humility. When we all think that we did it on our own, things get tougher. Right? Trials are given to us to wean us away from things. Sometimes. When we depend on what we have in the world and that's more important to us than anything else, that does not include the Super Bowl this Sunday. And also, trials are given to us to better enable us to help other people. If you know someone that has had cancer, or if you know someone that has lost a leg, or you know someone that has been disfigured or burned, when we that are healthy try to encourage them, it helps. when we as Christians pray for them, it helps. But you show me somebody that has been through that test, that has touched them, right? If you don't have a leg, and you used to, then you're the encouragement to the one that just lost a leg. I don't think there's any person sitting in this room that can't be a better encouragement to some individual than anybody else. But you have to look for that person. That's our job.
There you go.
That truly is our job. Even though I floundered in church, even though I fell away, even though I found my way back, I'm continually on guard. And I'll tell you where some of the blessings that I've been given by God that I would have never dreamed of. And it goes back to me being, I just wanted to be a cowboy before Texas rain. I wanted to run barbed wire. I wanted to work cattle. And when we moved to Oklahoma City, that dream totally vanished for me. I was no longer around it. And this one I'll get emotional about a little bit. With my lifetime dream of wanting to be a cowboy, my wife's father, my father-in-law, retired from Beerson Cochran and did a cattle ranch, a small place in Wyoming. And he always thought that he never did anything for me. But in the fall, for 4 years in a row, I went and worked the fall calves. We did Roundup. We did everything that you wanted to do as a cowboy and stuff. And every year that I would go to this Roundup, I would stay a week and on my horse. Everything else is going on. And I'm telling this story for a point at the end. Is that I did that for 4 years, and when my father-in-law got sick, he told me one time, that he felt bad because he'd never done anything for me. My response to Melvin was, I said, Melvin, you gave me something that no human being could have ever given me. And I told him that I thought God did it through me because that was my lifetime. Okay? I use that example, but I can use it almost anything that has occurred in my life. I mentioned that I've been married for 40 years. My wife and I got married, and when we got married, she was not my first choice. Now, she was when I met her. Don't get me wrong on the thing. But the woman that I wanted to marry, and I just knew that I was going to grow up with, has been married 4 times. It reminds me of the Garth Brooks song, you know, God does answer prayer. Unanswered. So it was that. It's the same way with my boys, my family, and my job. God has blessed me way beyond my ability. I will end by saying this one time. Most of the time when we have real pressure situations and a lot of the pressure comes my direction at Calidus, and it's really a difficult problem and it's going to be hard to resolve and there's no good answer, right? There's no good solution. This is going to be painful. I've looked at Bill over the years and I said, Bill, I keep telling you this. All I ever wanted to be was a cowboy. I should have turned right someplace, and I turned left, and I ended up in the commission business. And so, there is, you know, everything that we do for a living, everything that we have here is what? Just a vapor?
Yeah.
It is. And so I really believe that you should laugh a lot, you should smile a lot, you should be happy a lot, you should not be discouraged very often, because we have something as Christians.
That's right.
What the problem is, right?
Right.
When we spend eternity, this is not a problem.
Right.
That's good.
Once again, I really appreciate the invitation. Thank you for asking me to come. And Don, thank you for the invite as well. And God bless each and every one of you more than he already has.
That's going to be different.